Okay. We're going to look at methods of Bible study. I'm going to try to show you how to study the Word of God. The last time I mentioned that there were 12 methods that we're going to study. There's the devotional, there's the chapter summary, chapter character quality, thematic method, biographical method, topical method, word study method, book background method, book survey method, chapter analysis, book synthesis, and verse by verse. That's a lot of ways to study the Word of God. And we're going to start tonight with devotional method of Bible study. We'll get into that a little bit on exactly how to do it and how to make it of a value to yourself by doing it. First of all, what is the devotional method? The devotional method is simply this. You select a portion of Scripture, and then, as you should always do, you would certainly pray for wisdom from the Lord as you seek to understand that portion of Scripture. And then you meditate on the portion of Scripture to try to ascertain all of the meaning that you can out of that particular portion. And then you look at how to apply that to yourself, to your life, and you write out the application. Now, there's a key difference between reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God. And I've mentioned that previously. But reading the Word of God is good, but applying the Word of God is of a great deal of importance. Now, let's start with the idea that the application of Scripture to our lives is very important, very vital. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 22, and that will tell us this. And it is my opinion that there are great numbers of Christians who do not know and understand this when we talk about applying the Scripture. James 1, 22. The Word of God says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be ye doers of the Word. The Lord has said, be ye doers of the Word, not just hearers. Or, you know, that would include the reading of the Word of God. That someone who read the Word of God could be a hearer. But he says, be a doer, not just a hearer or just a reader. You've read the Word of God. That is not enough. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is one of the great important verses in the Word of God, because it tells us that the Word of God is inspired. And that's the usual reason that this verse is quoted. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God-breathed. All the Scripture is God-breathed, comes directly from God. Every word is from God, and so we can trust it. And that's a point of knowledge, to know that, and everything in our faith is based on the fact that this is the Word of God, and therefore it's worthy to be obeyed. But notice, it doesn't just end there saying that it's given by God. It says it is profitable for, and then doctrine. What is doctrine? That's the teaching, learning from it. And then for reproof and for correction. That's a practical application of it, isn't it? That it is profitable for us so that we can correct the things that we are doing wrong and start doing things according to the Word of God. It is profitable for that reason. It is not just God breathed and there it sits. It is not just good reading. It is not just interesting reading. But it is that which we should do. We should see what it says, and we should do. And then go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and I touched on these verses on Sunday night. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. These are the very concluding statements on what's ordinarily called the Sermon on the Mount. These are the concluding statements of the Lord Jesus Christ when he gave this great presentation. As they are the concluding statements of the Lord, you know that they have great weight to them, and this is the challenge that he gives to his hearers who have listened to him that day expound all of these great truths in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock, and everyone who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and it beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has said then that if you are building on a good foundation, the person who is building on a good foundation is not the person who reads the Bible. The person who is building on a good foundation is not the person who has read their Bible through in a year. The person who is built on the good foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ says, is the person who has heard it or read it and who is doing it. Without doing it, it is not that foundation. And notice he says, verse 26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. In other words, you could hear it and you could read the Bible, or you could hear it and you do not do what was said in the Word of God to do. You are the foolish man whose house is built upon a sand and will not weather the storm. So there is a key difference between reading the Word of God and applying the Word of God. And in this Bible study, applying the Word of God becomes a very important aspect of every method of Bible study that we are going to look at. You know, on Sunday night I preached on verse 12 of this chapter. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In other words, that's the way you are to live your life. And the Lord says that you do that. It's not just that you know and say, oh, I know the golden rule, and isn't it wonderful? No, it is not valuable to you unless you are putting it into practice in your own life. That the things that you say, you say to a person, you say, is this the way I would like somebody to talk to me? Is this the way I would like somebody to deal with me? That's how I'm going to deal with them. That's what the Word of God says, and Jesus said, you ought to do it. So you saw on Sunday night application of the Word of God in action. Now, there's two important truths about application that I want to bring to your attention tonight. The first one is that study without application is dangerous. Study without application is dangerous. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 states that, and then I will illustrate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, this is actually the second part of the verse. 1 Corinthians 8, 1 says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It means love strengthens us. But the first phrase I want you to notice is, knowledge puffeth up. And so what's that? Puffing up, pride. Knowledge gives pride. And that doesn't matter what field it is in, but we can certainly apply that to the Word of God. That people who just have knowledge of the Word of God, think they know the Word of God, and don't do it, can be very proud how spiritual they are, can be very proud how well they know the Bible, and that type of individual is dangerous. You say, why would that be dangerous? It doesn't sound like that kind of person should be dangerous. Why would that person be dangerous? Well, the problem is that when you just know the Word of God, You have a tendency to be kind of a not too good individual, and you see faults in others. And when you just know the Word of God, when you are applying the Word of God, you are so busy trying to correct your own errors, that you're not worried about what other people are doing. And you know, we had a fella that apparently prided himself on how well he knew the Bible. And he was dangerous. He was dangerous. I think he was dangerous to his family from everything I could notice. He was certainly dangerous to me. He was dangerous to the local church. He was the kind of guy that knew the Bible well, that it says the wife should be in submission to the husband. He knew that very well. Practically speaking, from my perspective, I don't know that he knew anything about the portion of Scripture that says husbands love your wife. That wasn't anything apparent about that. That kind of thing is dangerous to your family, you see, because there are people who know what the Bible says and can apply it to somebody else, but they don't apply anything to themselves. And then, you know, he would go around and get somebody who wasn't saved very long, you know, and he would start telling that person how that I didn't really fulfill the role of a pastor. You see, it never occurred to him that he ought to apply the Word of God to himself, that the Word of God says that we're to obey those that are in authority and that we're to know them so that we might be at peace among ourselves, you know. So he never applied that so that he would be at peace in the local church. You see, that made him dangerous because he was spouting knowledge of the Word of God, but he was not applying the Word of God to his own life. So study without application is dangerous. Now, before I get to the second truth that I want to tell you about application, I'd like to show you how to do the devotional method. Just briefly, how to do the devotional method, and we'll expand on it more in a time to come. Now, the author of the book that I am following in this study gives four steps. And he uses Luke chapter 12. So if you turn there, Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 22. You turn there, and now we'll look at this portion of Scripture, and we'll look at how to do the devotional method. All right, first we'll read the section. It's 22 to 26. And he said unto his disciples, now this would be, you would select this. You'd say, all right, I'm going to read, you know, these five verses. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Right. So there's a portion of Scripture. And you read the portion of Scripture, and then the first step you would do is that you would pray that the Lord might help you to understand that. And then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to meditate upon this portion of Scripture. And we're not talking about some mystical kind of thing. We're not talking about some heathen kind of thing here. Meditate simply means that you're going to spend some time thinking on the portion of Scripture. So you actually look at it, and then you start to think on it as to what exactly does this mean. And then when you have determined, and one of the ways you even will determine is, you start to write out in your own words what these five verses mean. So he's done that, and this is what he says. And this is what he would write down under meditation. I shouldn't worry so much. God will take care of all my needs. Since God gave me life, surely I can trust him to sustain it. I can learn from the example of the birds. They don't worry about the future. God takes care of them on a daily basis. And if God takes care of the birds, of course, he will take care of me. Besides, worrying never does me any good. It never really changes the situation. So what's the use of worrying? None. You see, so he writes that down. Of course, where would he get that? It says, which of you can taking thought can add to this stature one cubit? In other words, that's what he said. You know, what good is it going to do to worry? It's not going to do any worry. I'm not going to be able to change the situation by worrying about it. So he's written that down. And then he writes down two other things that will be helpful to him in this Bible study. He writes down command to obey. Is there a command to obey? Yes, there is. In verse 22, it says, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what you should put on. So there is the commandment to obey, that you are not to be worried about that. And then he also puts a category down for promise to claim. So, is there a promise that you can claim? Well, certainly there is. Verse 24, consider the ravens, they neither sow. You know, God takes care of them. How much are you better than the fowls? So that's the promise. So there, that's all done in the area of meditating upon this portion of Scripture. So you see what's happening here is that you haven't just read five verses, and he said, isn't that a wonderful thought? You know, now, it is a wonderful thought. But if you read the five verses and said, isn't that a wonderful thought, and you go your way, and you can forget about them. The older you get, the faster you forget about them. You forget about those verses, and then maybe a situation comes up, and you've even forgotten about those verses. Maybe a situation you start worrying, and you've already forgotten about those verses, even though you might have read it the same day. It's very possible. However, when you meditate upon it, when you've put it in your own words, now you are starting to cement that into the mind because you're actually writing it down. All right, then number three, he has application. Two is meditation, three is application. And so this is what he writes down under application. He writes, I need to apply this lesson in the area of our family finances. For this next month, I'll take it one month at a time. Every time the devil tempts me to worry about our bills, I'll resist that thought by quoting Luke 12:24 aloud. All right, so he is actually writing something down. Now, he says, what I'm going to do about this portion of Scripture. This is what I'm going to do. See, and he writes it down. I'm going to apply this to my life. And for this next month, I'm just going to be thinking on this thing so that every time I start to worry, I go back to this Scripture and I quote this Scripture. He'll be able to do that because he has written it down and gotten it in his mind. And then the fourth area that he marks is memorization. And so, in this particular case, he has picked out a verse to memorize. Out of these five verses, he picked out one verse. And the verse he picked out happened to be not the command, but the promise. And the promise was in verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And then he writes it out. He writes the whole thing out under memorization. And then tries to commit that to memory. So you see, that's actually part of number three, isn't it? The application. And that is that when he gets thoughts of worrying, he right away has committed all of this to his mind's working, and then he has committed a verse to memory, and so he quotes the verse. And what happens when you quote a verse out of the Word of God? It always gives you strength, doesn't it? It brings you back to the Lord. It gets the focus off your problems. It gets the focus off you, and it brings you back to the Lord. So that is a way you can do the devotional study method. And now I want to talk to you about the second truth about application. The first truth was study without application is dangerous. The second truth I'd like to bring before you is that application is hard work. It's hard work. Now, why is it hard work? It is hard work because, number one, it requires serious thinking. But you know something? It is that serious thinking that starts to make the truths of these verses in Luke chapter 12 become very real and become part of your life and become usable in your life because you've seriously thought on them. The problem is when we read them and say, that's nice and it's a wonderful thought, and we go our way, we forget it. But when we're working on the application of it, from starting first to write it all out, and then start to put it into practice every day, when we put these things into practice, then we remember them. But that is hard work, because it takes a lot of serious thinking. Now, I mentioned before, you may not be able to do Bible study like this every day. I would suggest that at the least you try to do it at least once a week. Read your Bible every day for some strength, but do the Bible study at least once a week, or if you could two or three times, that would certainly be good. But it requires some serious thinking. And the truth is, we don't like to think. We really don't like to think. You know? I could say to a lot of kids, do you like school? So no. Why not? You know, you don't like to think, you know? Well, I like the part where I'm with my friends. I like the part where we go out and play ball, you know? I like the part where we have activities, you know? I like those parts. I like the part where I go to the bathroom. I'm sure there's some boys that really like that a lot. I noticed that. And boy, it's a shame our bathroom wasn't working, wasn't it? You know, I was just dying over that. Anyway, it is a shame for the ladies in the nursery and such. Well, it requires some serious thinking. The second reason that application is hard work is that, you know, that's the area that Satan fights, and maybe the world, the flesh, and the devil all fight against doing that. It's easier not to do it. Satan doesn't want you to do it, because you know what? If you start doing it and you start applying these things to your life, you're going to be more and more godly, and Satan's going to hate that even more. And then number three, and a reason why application is hard work, is that we naturally resist change. We naturally resist change. That's just as human can be. And there are actually two areas of change here that we're talking about. We're talking about doing these things. The two areas of change are, one is making a new time for this type of Bible study. It's going to be a benefit to us, is to make the change in our life, to put in the time, because we always think we don't have the time. And the other thing is even worse. The next one is even worse, and that is changing the way we behave when we see that the Word of God tells us differently. That's really hard. It's really hard because we are extremely satisfied with our own behavior. It's other people who have a problem, you see. And we're satisfied with our own behavior, and we don't want to change our behavior. We don't want to change our behavior because our behavior is all right. It's the other people. If the other people were all right, the world would be happy. And I don't have to change, you see. So that's why application is hard work. But I'd suggest you break that pattern and be what God wants us to be according to the Word of God. Now, the next time we study these things, I'm going to illustrate more how to do this devotional method. So I'll give you enough opportunity to see how the devotional method is done. And it's good if you come, well, you know, with a piece of paper like this or something, and so that you can write down the different categories and then take it home and do it that way. And we'll just continue working on this a little bit, taking apart some scripture and seeing how to apply it so that it can be of benefit to us. Now let's bow for prayer. Father, we come before Thee and we pray, dear Lord, that we might be a people of God who might do what the Word of God says, that we might study enough to know what it is and then do it. And we trust Thee for blessing as we seek to serve Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.